going to do that right now. And I wanted to start out with us reading together the Apostles' Creed. But instead of all of us reading it together where we never think about the words, I'm going to read it. I'd like you to think about the words as I go through it. Here's what it says. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So we've been using that document for our sermon series. Like we've kind of gone like one step at a time. We talked about God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We talked about that on week one. And then my friend Tim Walk came in and he talked about Jesus. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Talked all through what that means for us in our lives. Like if you really believe in Jesus Christ, it should impact your life. In fact, every one of these, it's like that's why we're doing it. Not just to establish what we believe and why we believe it, but how that should impact our lives. Our lives should be changed by these things. Then we talked about the Holy Spirit. So those three together are the Trinity. They make up the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then now there's all these other like little things that we talk about afterwards. Last week we talked about the Holy Catholic Church. And just to recap that, I did confess that the church is generally neither holy nor Catholic, meaning universal, right? But Jesus makes us holy together. You can go back and listen to that sermon. It's gotten a lot of chatter over the last week because I did say the church sucks out loud from this stage. And I don't have a pulpit, but you know. So go back and listen to that if you want to giggle and understand why I lost my job. So that's the church. The church is not always good. In fact, sometimes the church itself is bad. But when the church is good, it's really, really good. It's really, really good. Now we're going to talk about communion of saints. The communion of saints. But then the week after that, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. But this week is the communion of saints. How are we doing on that PowerPoint? Are we good? Did we get it or no? I'm sorry? Oh, they're working on it? Okay, I'm sorry. I can't see who's up there or not, but okay. So they'll get there. When we talk about the communion of saints, and this is where the screen would be really handy because it's a funny joke if I put it on the screen, but what we're not talking about is the New Orleans Saints. Right? Okay, so if it's Sean Payton, Drew Brees on the communion of saints. We're not talking about that. It has nothing to do with New Orleans. Also, it has nothing to do with communion. You know, we take communion every 6 weeks or so around here with the bread and the cup, and it has nothing to do with that. Why would we use the word communion of saints when it has nothing to do with communion or saints? Because over time, those words have changed in their meaning, and we don't understand the original intent behind those. So let's talk about each of those words individually as we go forward. Let's talk about communion first. The Greek word that we are using for communion is koinonia. Koinonia. It's probably a relatively familiar term. Let's say it together. Koinonia. Koinonia. All right. What it means basically is fellowship or communion. You might have heard the word before because there's a parachurch organization that's very similar to Emmaus. It's called Koinonia. There's a chapter in Zanesville. There's a chapter in Columbus. There's chapters all over. You take weekend retreats and you dive into what God might have for you in your life. It's a wonderful organization. But Koinonia, meaning fellowship or communion, doesn't have anything to do with bread and juice or wine. It basically means the gathering of people with something in common. So they have their koinonia is a gathering of people that have something in common together. But it's interesting to me these days, especially, that you can have a gathering of people with something in common that never actually gather, right? You can do Zoom, you know, and you kind of gather online. But there's also this idea of like, we have something in common with other churches down the road. We have a communion with them, but without ever gathering, we may never gather with them. We may never even meet them, but we have something in common with them. Now, let me try to illustrate this point with something completely ridiculous. Okay. I'm a huge Bengals fan, all right? I love the Cincinnati Bengals. I've tried hard not to over the years, but I'm stuck with them because the year I started liking football and understanding football is the year they went to the Super Bowl the last time when I was 11, okay? And so I can't help it. I'm stuck with this team that went to the Super Bowl. That's what happens to kids. Like, if they don't inherit it from their dad real well, he likes the Browns. If they don't inherit from their dad, then they'll like whoever is going to the Super Bowl a lot. That's how the Kozlowski boys like the Patriots. Because when they were young, the Patriots were good. So, but for 23 years, I didn't know that Boomer Esiason and Icky Woods would be the only ones that would take us to the Super Bowl. For that long, I just didn't know. And these days, you see Bengals garb everywhere. People wear Bengals stuff because the Bengals are good. And with us Bengal fans who are in the know, when we see each other, we give the liturgy of the Bengals. It's grace and peace to you. That's what it is. No, we know it's not that. What is it? Hooday. Thank you. Yeah, Hooday is the liturgy of the Bengals. But what Bengals fans of today don't remember is the two decades of persecution and turmoil and humility that we went through. Because those days when we saw each other in Walmart, because that's where we shop, in those days we would look to our right, we would look to our left, and we would whisper, "Hooday." And then we would give a knowing nod because we knew what each other was going through in life as we capped off another 3-13 season with no hope of a good draft pick. That's communion. We had something in common and we were had a burden together. That's the koinonia of Bengals. But there's an additional piece to it because the Bengals fans of today that are riding the, you know, the bandwagon, they don't remember my generation of Bengals fans who've gone through it all. And conversely, I don't remember all the Bengals fans from 1968 who started the franchise. I don't know those folks. I don't know what they went through, but it's all part of our story together because communion transcends time. We're all part of the communion together beyond time, beyond the time in which we live. Going backwards, going forwards into time for those who will enjoy all of the Super Bowls that Joe Burrow will bring us. We will welcome you all into our communion, our koinonia of the Bengals. Last week in the Creed, we talked about Holy Catholic Church, Catholic meaning universal. That transcends space, geography, our physical boundary. We are just as much part of the church as the folks in the building 2 blocks from here, in the building 20 miles from here, 2,000 miles from here, 22,000 miles from here. The Holy Catholic Church phrase transcends space, whereas the communion of saints transcends time. We're all connected from the beginning of time in Jesus to now and on beyond. There was people who came before us. There will be people who come after us. We may not remember the persecutions of our fathers and mothers that they went through. We do not yet understand all of the persecutions that our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren in the faith will go through. But yet we're all connected to one another. All of the victories, all of the pain, all of the turmoil, all of the victories, all of the pain, all of the victories, all of the pain and turmoil that we go through, we're all connected together. That's communion. You get it? That's communion. It transcends time. From all the people, from all the time, that we have a common bond together. So communion of, what is it? Saints. What does saints mean? It's hard not to conjure up an image from the Roman Catholic Church. You know, just in our area, we have two churches that are named from the Roman Catholic Church that are named after saints. We have St. Francis. That's right up the road here, about three blocks away. And then St. Edward's is on Granville Road, just as you get into Granville there. And in the Roman Catholic Church, saints are a huge deal, man. It's a big deal to be a saint. If you want to be a saint, first of all, you have to be dead for a really, really long time. So good luck with that. But then also, you have to live a life of piety. You have to live a life that's seen as holy. It helps if you've served people, that you've loved the Lord the whole time. And also, I think there's this thing where you have to have performed a miracle that was, like, documented. So again, good luck with that. Not everybody gets to be a saint in that tradition. But thankfully, that's not what the creed is talking about. It's not that kind of communion of saints. Instead, the communion of saints is all believers. All believers. The Greek word for that is hagios. Hagios. It's used 229 times in the New Testament. It just means holy ones. Paul used it many times in his opening greetings in his letters to the various churches. Philippians chapter 1:1. He says, to the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. He just calls the believers that were there saints. In his understanding, like, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're in this town, you're a saint. In Newark, to the saints of Newark. He'd be writing to you. He'd be writing to the church up there, the two over there, the one over, like, you know what? Because we're all part of the communion of saints. We have a way of saying of people where we go, he's no saint, you know, or I'm no saint, you know what I mean? And when we say that, we're actually thinking of St. Francis or St. Benedict or St. Peter. But remember, even Peter was a turd. So we can't just say that, I ain't no saint either. I'm no saint. That transcends time, the communion of saints, St. Peter, all the way up to us and beyond us. Everyone who has ever believed in Jesus, who currently believes in Jesus, and who will someday believe in Jesus, all belong to the communion of saints. The author of Hebrews talks about this. In connection to space and time, because what this does, Holy Catholic Church and Communion of Saints eliminates the barriers of space and time to create the understanding that we're all in this together. So listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. In chapter 11, that was Hebrews chapter 12, 1, but in chapter 11, the author is giving us what is called the Hall of Faith, listing out a bunch of old dudes who lived a good life of faith, and God called them righteous because what God did through them and their faithfulness. So he's saying all of these faithful people are now a cloud of witnesses for the rest of us. I have to tell this story because this is where my mind goes every time now that I read this scripture. But at my grandfather's funeral, which I did my grandfather's funeral because I'm a funeral snob and they need to be done properly. So my wife calls me a funeral snob. But after I tell you this story, you'll understand why I'm a funeral snob. So I asked my grandfather's pastor to say something at the funeral and then just take care of the burial part at the gravesite, right? Because I was like, I don't want to be the one to put him in the ground. I'll let his pastor do that. But his pastor was reading that passage that I just read for you, Hebrews 12, 1, great cloud of witnesses. And wanting to honor my grandfather, he said, that's Delmer Warner. He's one of those saints. And I was like, man, yeah, that's cool. he's up there. And then he goes, he says this, so anytime you're missing Delmer Warner, just look up in the sky and pick you out a cloud. That's Delmer. He's up there. And all of us, like, my cousins, we all looked at each other like, huh? That's garbage theology. Grandpa's not in a cloud. He's not a cloud, but he is a witness to what is going on as a saint that has gone before us. That's not, the author is not talking about people being clouds. We don't become clouds when we die. We don't become babies when we die. We don't become angels when we die. None of that stuff happens. That's a whole different thing that we'll talk about some other time if we have to. What he's saying is it's a cloud of witnesses. It's a group of people, the communion of saints together. My grandpa happens to be part of that. So do you if you believe in Jesus. I get to be a part of it too. And so is the Apostle Paul. Like that, we're all in it together. It's part of the communion of saints. It's the body of believers in Jesus who have lived throughout time. Do you believe in that? Because that's what the creed says. I believe in the communion of saints. Do you believe in it? Say amen. Amen. Hebrews 12:1 gives us a pretty good answer for why we should believe in that. It says this, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that is so easily that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Because of this cloud of witnesses that have lived a faithful life ahead of us, may we cast off the things that keep us, that hold us back from also living a life of faith. We say it all the time here, put yourself into a position where God can do the transforming work that God will do in you. You can't do the work yourself. God does the work, but you take off the things that hinder you and hinder God from making it happen in your life. Because there's this great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. They've managed to live the Christian life. They've managed to be faithful. They've likely suffered more than we can imagine. If they can do it, then let us run with perseverance because so many have been able to do it before. There's another passage I want to highlight for us. It comes from 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, which we've touched with our hands concerning the word of life. John says, that was from the beginning. It's the same way he starts the gospel. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. It's the same way Genesis starts. In the beginning, God. John's linking together all of the beginning to what he says he was an eyewitness to. That which was in the beginning, God, is what we've seen, we've heard it, we've actually touched with our hands concerning the word of life. John got to experience it. And I think our generation gets a bad rap for wanting to experience things because we're high on experience. We test things to be true by our experience of those things. John's saying, I got to experience it, so I'm just going to pass it on to you. How many of us have experienced some sort of transformation that we can only attribute to God? We've experienced it. We've seen it with our eyes. We've heard it with our ears. Verse 2, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. God's life was made manifest. It was made visible in the form of Jesus, which these guys, the guy that's writing, he witnessed it firsthand. He saw it and he heard it. And they sent that on to the readers of this letter so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. So that... He's like, here's the reason why I'm passing it on to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. There's our word koinonia. So that you can have koinonia. I'm telling you about it. I saw it. I heard it. I touched it. Now I'm telling you so that you can join in and have koinonia fellowship with us and have koinonia fellowship with the Father and the Son. Koinonia is twice in there. Says once you're in this family, once you hear about it and believe in Jesus, once you're in the family, You're in the family. All of those who lived before and all of those who are yet to come, we are in this family together. You join the family that includes the Father and the Son. How many of you would confess to watching the TV show Yellowstone? Yeah, okay, we're watching Yellowstone these days. If you haven't watched it, don't. It's terrible for you. It's amazing to watch. So we've been watching Yellowstone. I'll use this example. You can join the Dutton family, and it doesn't cost you anything, but once you join, it costs you everything. It costs all of you. Once you're in, everything is covered for you, but you're branded for life. For them, literally. I'm pretty sure that everything that happens on that show is exactly what happens in Montana. So I encourage you, if you go to Montana, don't go to the train station, okay? Koinonia is not as harsh as what you see on Yellowstone, but some of the ideas are the same. The idea that none of us deserve to be in the koinonia, that none of us have bought our way into the koinonia, that it costs us nothing and everything all at the same time to be a part of the koinonia, that we bear a mark that baptism puts on us, Christ's own. We are bought with that price. And the first rule of koinonia is that you talk about koinonia. You tell everybody about it. We talk about it. We share it with others. We pass it on to others. We proclaim it to people. We display it for everyone. John goes on, verse 5, this is the message. This is the thing that we're talking about here. We have heard from him, and now we proclaim it to you that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship, there's the word koinonia again. If we have koinonia with him while we walk in darkness, then we're lying and we do not practice the truth. Believe it or not, there's people who talk about Jesus and talk about the church as if they're part of koinonia, but they really aren't. John says that they're just lying. It's a lie. Can I tell you a pet peeve? Okay. Let me say this. First of all, I rarely tell people what my job is, because as soon as I tell folks what I do for a living, like, it changes everything. Like, they're like, ooh, yeah, suddenly they get different, you know. So I don't tell them what I do. But it's particularly bad with salespeople, all right? Because salespeople want to make the sale. That's all they want to do. And if the salesperson finds out you're a pastor, suddenly they are Christians from way back. And their granddaddy was a pastor, too. Suddenly they're quoting Stephen Furtick things that Stephen Furtick never said. Because they're like, oh, I watch him all the time. Suddenly they spent the entire summer rocking babies in Zimbabwe. You know, like, they're Christians, man. Suddenly they've given all their sales profits to Joel Osteen's latest mission in Appalachia, whatever. Then you ask them where they worship. What communion of saints are you belonging to? Where do you connect? Who do you connect with? Which church? And I literally, this last fall, I had one tell me, well, during the pandemic, with all the craziness that was going on, we just stepped out of the church. And instead, now I watch Hannity and Carlson every night with a Bible in one hand, with a pad of paper and a pen in the other. That's a great witness tool. Yeah. Like, that ain't the communion of saints. That is not it. That's not a replacement for the church, the body of believers. I about walked right out of the room right then, except we'd already signed the contract. It's just, I didn't know. You can't walk in darkness and be part of the koinonia. If you try that, you're just lying to yourself. Because everybody else knows already. You're only lying to yourself. Can't do both. John finishes it out. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, just like Jesus walked in the light, it's really important. It's the most important part of the passage. Walk in it just like Jesus walked in it. That's literally all we got to do. Walk like Jesus walked. Just walk like Jesus walked. If we walk like Jesus walked, then we have fellowship, we have koinonia with one another. And he says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Walk like Jesus walked. Walk like Jesus walked and welcome into the communion of saints. That's all there is to it. Walk like Jesus walked and you belong to the communion of saints. You are part of the global, timeless family of God. And so we believe in the Holy Catholic Church, set apart, universal, transcending space. We believe also in the communion of saints, the koinonia, the fellowship of set apart people, transcending time. I would ask you, do you believe that to be true? If so, say amen. Amen. Let us pray. God, being a part of something greater than ourselves is something we probably don't appreciate well enough. We tend to get kind of focused on ourselves. We focus on what our church is doing and maybe assume that our church has the only right way of doing things. May we not do that. May we understand that we're part of something much, much greater than ourselves, and it doesn't happen just right here. This is not the most important time that's ever even lived. The most important time was when your son, Jesus Christ, came and started this whole thing, that we can be a part of that communion. And so may we join that communion just like Jesus did, like Jesus walked through His time on earth. May we walk like that time as well. And may we extend the light that's shining in our heart to other people. And in Him there is no darkness at all, so may we be cleansed by that as well. May we just join the communion of saints by living like Jesus would live, by believing in your Son, Jesus Christ. In these closing moments of service, we're going to name what we believe. But may we also affirm in our hearts what we believe about your Son being our Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.